Yo, what's going on, y'all? It's Combo Breaker 99. Welcome back to another episode of Hashtag CB99 Talks, episode 8. And yeah, man, back with y'all once again. Just got a few topics I want to discuss with y'all today. I want to talk a little bit about Courtney Casey, you know, her win over Barella, and what's next for her in the flyweight division real quick. We'll talk about that. And we'll talk about, of course, we'll go in a little bit more in depth on Claudia Gadelha versus Angela Hill. And just talk about couple of the fighters that were victims of bad judges, you know, bad robberies once again. You know, like I said, I hate to call close fights robberies, but you know, I thought there was enough work done by these fighters last Saturday that were victims of the robberies. And yeah, just want to go a little bit more in depth on Angela Hill and her loss to Claudia Gadelha. And last, I want to talk, last but not least, man, I want to talk a little bit about boxing. Like I said, talk about this welterweight division, Errol Spence Jr. potentially might be facing Daryl Garcia when boxing returns in September, man. So I know a lot of people don't like that fight, but just a few points that I want to cover and remind people about, you know, Errol and Danny Garcia on why this might be a good fight, man. But yeah, man, just going back to last Saturday, we had a lot of good fights, but like I said, man, I tell people this all the time, man, like the one thing that could take away from a good solid night of fights is the judges. You know, everything could be just perfect, you know, the perfect matchups, perfect opponents, perfect nights for these guys that are, you know, just throwing down and putting it all on the line. And then right there, man, right at the end of the fight, whenever those scores are read and that decision is given out to the wrong person, man, like it's just not the fighter, man. You know, it's just not the fighter that feels that frustration and disgust. You know, it's the fans that come out too. You know, they feel for them as well because the fans, they want to see the rightful winner. You know, just like when they were seeing that perfect fight, they saw that opponent, that champion, that contender, you know, putting everything on the line, doing everything right. Everything he trained for, he's showing everything, his heart, his skill, his drive, he's showing all of that to stay ahead on the cards, only to have it taken away. You know, even if he was like in a very competitive, rough fight, you know, you could still see that fighter doing everything he has to do to overcome adversity throughout the fight. You know, he's making the proper adjustments. He or she is making the proper adjustments. He or she is, you know, overcoming adversity, whatever the other opponent's dishing out. You know, he's taking a shot to give two of his own shots. You know, he's doing whatever he has to do or she has to do to make sure she wins, even in a close fight. You know, you think you've done enough, but then after that, when that decision is read, you're just like, damn, like, what was the purpose of everything I did? The purpose of all that training, the purpose of, you know, putting hands on this person in consecutive times, just, you know, taking over each round. You know, that can be frustrating, even for us, like I said, because we come to be entertained only to be cheated at the end of the fight. You know, of course the fighters did what they were supposed to do, but when the judges don't give that person that win that really deserves it, it pisses us off because we're like, damn, man, is this a corrupt game or what? You know? It all, like I said, it all comes down to it's not the fighter's fault. It's the judges, you know, and it's the people who pick the judges. It's the organizations who clear these people to be judges. They don't understand that to be a judge, they have to know the definition of what a real significant strike is. You know, what's an effective punch? You know, what punch counts that lands? You know, you just can't count a punch that hits like the arm and the knuckles all the time. Like, that's just for fighters sometimes who can just, you know, tap the arm a little bit to get into the inside where it really counts. You know, you just can't go by, oh, he's touching him here. He's touching him here on the elbows, on the arms. Okay, I'm gonna count those shots. But the other opponent is, you know, doing all of the work. You know, he's splitting the guard, going straight up the middle, hitting the body, bloody in the nose, you know, cutting the other opponent up, but you're not seeing that. You know, that's the crazy part, you know. And also you just can't have judges going in there picking favorites. You know, I think that's what it is a lot of the times. Just like this past Saturday with Claudia and Angela, you know, nothing against Claudia, but it's the actual judges that are favoring her or the organization that's favoring her. They want her to win no matter what, you know, even if she is getting her ass beat, you know, that's not fair. And again, if it is just the inexperienced judges, come on, man. Like, we really need some experienced people that have either taken a punch or know how to throw a punch and know what a real punch feels like, you know, in some type of manner. They know what a significant strike is. You know, a lot of the times majority of the times, these judges are people who they just get off the street. I don't really even think they clear them to say, hey, have you had any experience in combat sports? And you know what a punch really is? You know, do you know how a punch is supposed to land? You know, I think that these judges, just people, do this part time. You know, they just get up from the other 9 to 5, say, oh, they get off their other 9 to 5 and they say, oh, well, I'm going to go judge this fight real quick. You know, I remember even the last event the UFC had with, I want to say it was the Lauren Murphy and Andrea Lee, that fight, that card, you know, that was another bad call. You know, Lauren Murphy won a controversial decision over Andrea Lee, and Andrea Lee did everything in the book to win at least 2 rounds in that fight, you know, and, I think it was Joe Rogan, or one of the other commentators there, they noticed like one of the judges wasn't even looking at the fight. You know, he was like talking to somebody else or just off looking down, looking at something for like a good majority of one of the rounds. So, you know, what does that tell you? You know, these people out here that are judging fights that they hire are not really taking it seriously, you know, and that's what we need. That's another key point that we need. We need actual judges that are taking this seriously. You know, you're taking this seriously just like a scrub tech or a nurse in the OR, you know. I know that's hell of a lot more serious, but this is serious too, because you have that person's career in your hands. You know, a judge has the fighter's career in their hands. You know, they do everything they are supposed to do to earn their money that night. This is a lot of these fighters' income, you know. So when they come to perform, they shouldn't have to just go in there with the mind state that I can't leave it in the hands of the judges. No, you need the judges. You know, judges are still needed, you know, because not everybody's going to be able to score a knockout. You know, not everybody has that type of power, or that type of mindset to go in there every single time knockout. You know, I mean, we keep saying that, but it's not fair that we have to say that. Then if we don't leave it in the hands of the judges, then we might as well not even hire judges. You know what I mean? Like, we might as well just let the audience do their thing, or just let the fighters fight to the death or something, right? Or fight till they submit, you know? That's what I'm saying. That's how crazy it would be if you don't have judges. So if we're going to have judges, they need to be more experienced. Let's go back to this Claudia Gadelha and Angela Hill fight. Almost Andrea Lee again. But overall, like I said, man, it was like a very close competitive fight that Angela Hill did enough to win. It was a competitive fight where she really got tested, but she overcame adversity and did enough to win the fight 2-1. You know, starting with the second round, of course, because the first round, hands down, was Claudia's. You know, Claudia started off the fight in the first round throwing some very nice strikes. You know, she was actually using a good jab as Angela Hill was coming forward with the pressure. But it was that takedown that definitely won her the fight. I mean, definitely won her the first round. You know, the first round when she got taken, Angela Hill got taken down, I was like, oh shit, you know, Angela Hill is in no man's land now. You know, this is a level where she's going to really have trouble. And she did. You know, that's still another question mark about Angela Hill. You know, her ground game, especially against an experienced grappler and wrestler like Claudia. And one of the key things about this thing was that this takedown was Claudia didn't even really do much. You know, she was just on top of Angela Hill, but Angela Hill had a tough time getting up. It wasn't really until like Claudia started to move a little bit and shift where Angela Hill kind of got to the fence and was able to scoot up and break out of the clinch, you know. So that round was definitely for Claudia. You know, Claudia definitely did win the first one, but second round, whenever Angela Hill turned it up with the striking, you know, she was just putting some nice hands on Claudia. You know, whatever she wanted to throw, she was throwing. You know, she was throwing the left hooks around the side. She was throwing the right hooks around Claudia's guard. And that was another signature punch that kept landing for Angela Hill was the overhand right. You know, it was going on the top of the head. She was landing uppercuts. You know, she was going, throwing whatever she wanted. And, you know, she drew blood. You know, she had Claudia leaking from the nose, from the brow. And then, you know, that perfect shot too, the perfect shot as Claudia was stepping to her right, she stepped right into that perfect right hand that just dropped Claudia. Like, Claudia's legs were gone. I was like, damn, I didn't know Angela Hill possessed that type of power. But I think it was just a mixture of, you know, accuracy and, you know, that efficient, strong punch from Angela Hill. You know, it wasn't all like power, but, you know, it was just a perfect punch landing that Claudia didn't expect, you know. And Angela Hill just posted this on her Facebook. I was just actually looking at tonight. She zoomed in and showed the reaction to Dana White. It was like, Dana White looked like one of the judges. Like, he was just sitting there like this. Like I don't know if he even noticed that Claudia had got dropped, you know, like, as when she zoomed in and as Claudia was going down, it was like his eyes was just like looking at the mat. It was like he wasn't even paying attention. Like, he didn't even see that. Like, he didn't even react. I was like, damn, man, everybody else was, you know, at home was reacting, I'm sure. But of course, there was no audience there. But I'm sure even the commentators like, damn, you know, they had some type of reaction. But when she zoomed in, man, if you go to Angela Hill's Facebook, it's like her most recent post. He was just sitting there like just looking down, like he had no reaction to it. So I was like, damn, are you mad that Claudia, your favorite, got dropped? You know, that's what I was thinking. But yeah, that whole round, Angela Hill, you know, she controlled it. She controlled it all. Claudia had her moments, but again, Angela Hill was still doing what she needed to stay one up on Claudia that round. And then going into the third round, I know there were some good exchanges in there. But overall, I feel like the better accurate punches were landed by Angela Hill. And again, Claudia posted this on her Instagram. She posted that she landed the more significant strikes. And again, that's where judges and, you know, this CompuBots thing, similar thing, it just doesn't work, man. It's like, what are you really considering significant strikes? From what I was looking at throughout that round, the more significant strikes were landed by Angela Hill. I'm talking about straight knuckles to face, knuckles to body, knuckles to your, you know, to the brow, that's drawing blood to the nose. Those were the significant strikes I was looking at. You know, I don't know if they're just looking at Claudia landing on the arms or landing like grazing blows, you know, little shots here and there, but she wasn't even doing that much damage to Angela Hill. Because another key to Angela Hill's, that you could tell Angela Hill was winning, is like her rhythm never changed. You know, her overall pacing never changed. Like, she never went on like full defense, like, oh, I'm taking too many shots, I better back up. No, she stayed in the pocket. She stayed on the outside pot shotting all night, you know, whereas Claudia, when she started taking a few more shots, she looked a little gassed. She looked a little frustrated. And even at times, she would pick it up. She would pick it up for maybe like a few seconds, throw one quick exchange, stop, one quick exchange, stop. Well, Angela Hill's doing all the work. You know, Angela Hill at a point landed like three right hands in a row, straight right hands in a row, you know? So I'm like, that's another thing that judges aren't looking at. They're not looking at the overall octagon generalship of this thing. You know, they're not looking at the fighter that's actually doing all the work and keeping the same consistent rhythm. Like, Angela Hill in the third round, to me, stayed on the same line, you know, on the same line of what she was doing. You know, she just kept working. You know, there's moments where Claudia would come in there and counter something, but she stayed here, whereas Claudia was always like here, 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 here. You know, she was going up and down, where Angela just stayed here. You know, and just like I said, like, you look at Angela Hill's face, she didn't even take that much punishment. On top of that, her body language stayed the same. Again, her mentality stayed the same. Like, I'm not hurt. Claudia's not doing anything to me. I'm going to stay doing what I do. Pot shot to the end. Close this round out strong. And I feel like she closed it out, man. She did enough to win. That's why when she raised her hands in victory, I was like, this is for her. You know, she did it. You know, she did what she was supposed to do. Claudia, on the other hand, just kind of raised her hands. You know, I feel like she was just kind of doing that. But maybe she knew she had it in the bag. But when that decision was read, I was like, just like my prediction video, as soon as they said split decision, I was like, yeah, Angela Hill got it. And they said Claudia, I was like, oh, shit, come on. Come on. I was like, that was bullshit, man. And that's why, you know, whenever Angela dropped that F-bomb, she was like, I was with her on that, man. I was frustrated for her too, because it was like she did so much in that fight. You know, she did so much to beat this top-level fighter, you know. And Angela Hill's really been working. Like, you know, she's been staying active. She has the most, like, fights in a row right now, as far as just from 2019 to 2020. And another thing I probably have to talk about too, man, I don't know if I do a video or another episode about this, but Angela Hill's not even ranked in the top 10. I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, how do y'all have even Amanda Ribas and Alexa Grasso? I'm an Alexa Grasso fan, but y'all got her ranked over Angela Hill right now. You know, it's crazy. Like, Angela Hill's been putting in this work, beating all these other contenders, you know, on her level to get to that top 10. I don't understand, man. So I don't know if this was just a favorite game to keep Claudia where she was at, you know, so she can get back in there against get back in there for another title shot or what. But I just didn't like the looks of that. I didn't like that decision. But yeah, overall, like going back to the whole thing with the judges, man, it's just like we really need some like former fighters, former trainers, hell, even some referees, former referees, or even referees when they're not actually calling, you know, being referees for a fight, calling fights. You know, they could be judges part time. I don't know if there are any that do that now, but that would make sense because even they're getting like, you know, they're in there, you know, they're actually seeing in real time, like the reaction and what's landing and what's a good punch, what's effective and what's not. You know, they can actually see body language and effective aggression real time. You know, they're in there with the fighters. So yeah, we just need guys like that. We just need more experienced men and women like that, you know, to be judging fights. But yeah, overall, I thought this was a good fight. You know, like I said, it was like a good fight that night where, you know, I was like pleased to see how Angela Hill was, you know, able to step up her game and show how she's gotten better. But when that decision read, man, it just disgusted me, man, because it was like, wow, she did all this work to get in there against a former number one contender, only to have it taken away again just because, you know, they're playing favorites. That's all. That's the reason I can see. That's the biggest reason I can see, because she did enough to win. But looking forward, you know, looking towards the future now, as far as Claudia Gadelha, you know, she called out Carla Esparza again. You know, Carla Esparza called her out last week when she beat Michelle Waterson. I did, like I said in my post fight video about Carla, I wanted to see that fight. You know, I wanted to see it more if the win was more legit. You know, like I said, I wanted to see the winner of Gadelha Hill fight Carla Esparza, but it's just like, wow, what's going to happen again if Carla beats Claudia? You know, she's going to be robbed of a decision again like she was the first time, you know? And again, that's no knock to Claudia, it's the judges, you know? But at the same time, it's like, you know, Claudia hasn't really, like, to me, improved or really made big statements to make me say, oh yeah, she's really whooping ass right now. You know, like she hasn't really stepped out of the box or gotten really, really better than she was in like 2015, 2016, around that era, you know, when she was giving Joanna work, even in those losses. But like, she hasn't really like made me say, oh yeah, she's the one now, or she's really improved. You know, she's still got a long way to go. If anything, Carla Esparza and Angela Hill have really made some differences in their camp, you know, especially Angela Hill. And even, like I said, Carla, like since Carla lost the title, like she's just been growing as a fighter. But Angela Hill, man, yeah, she's definitely gotten better. So, yeah, for the future for Claudia, if she's going to fight Carla, I watched that fight. I think Carla can do it again, but she's going to have to do it more convincing than she did the first time because, you know, they took it from her too. You know, they definitely took it from her. So I'll take that rematch. As for Angela Hill, you know, she posted – you know, I'd be keeping up, man, but she posted this on Claudia's Instagram. You know, she posted rematch. You know, one of her posts, she just said rematch. She wants a rematch. You know, she's already kind of been going at Claudia's neck. You know, she's been making mockery videos of her talking and stuff like that, which is, you know, that's the crazy part of it, man. I'm just glad she called her out, you know, but all the other stuff, I'm just like, okay, man, like, you know, just sign her up for the rematch. Let her get the rematch. But yeah, I understand she is pissed off. So if Angela Hill can get that rematch before Carla can get it, that's cool too. But she says she wants to stay active. I think she wants to fight again at the end of this month. I think there's a card May 30th. I know there's a card coming up this weekend, but I think there's another one coming up May 30th. I think it's Teron Woodley on this one. You know, let me know in the comments section. But yeah, if Angela Hill can get to fight this month again, that's cool. You know, stay active, but get ready for that rematch again, because you got to be prepared to close the show against Claudia. And let's go back and talk a little bit about the technical part of the fight just real quick, because I want to say Angela Hill definitely proved me wrong with the power. You know, I felt like I said, she needed to show respect in this. She needed to get respect in this fight from Claudia, you know, by really throwing stronger, hard punches. You know, and I thought she would just kind of be able to do that with a basic jab, but she was just throwing everything, like rights and lefts that were confusing Claudia. And then that right hand, you know, she caught up with the perfect right hand. And like I said, who would have thought she would have dropped Claudia like that? You know, nobody really saw that coming. I didn't either. But it came with the fact that Claudia was trying to stand with Angela. You know, like I said in my breakdown video, Claudia needs to just take it to the ground. You know, she needs to take it to the ground and, you know, kind of faint with the striking. But she was trying to box with Angela Hill, which was a mistake, you know. So Angela Hill definitely showed more improvement on that, you know, as far as just being the aggressor. You know, she was able to counterpunch and be the aggressor in this fight. And, yeah, shout out to Angela Hill for doing, you know, putting on a good performance. But like I said, just bad judgment, you know. But, yeah, again, I might get some other people on and talk about this, you know, as far as doing on a live stream, just talk about what they feel like boxing needs as far as better judges in boxing, better judges in combat sports. Sorry. You know, we'll talk about that again. But moving on, man, dang, it's starting to rain out here pretty hard, man. It's like we got a tropical storm warning out here, man. So it's like really pouring out this way now, man. Like this whole week is supposed to be like that, man. It's crazy. I didn't even see that coming. You know, first of COVID, now we got this tropical storm just like making its way through my coast right now. So it's wild out here, bro. Man, it's crazy. But yeah, man, let's talk some boxing, man. Let's talk about this welterweight division. You know, recently, man, in boxing news, there is reports that Errol Spence Jr. and Danny Garcia could possibly be facing off in September when boxing makes a return. If it comes back in September, which I hope it comes. Well, actually, man, we got a card coming up June 9th, but I think the question mark is still kind of on that. I think Clarissa Shields is going to be fighting, but, you know, don't quote me on that. Shakur Stevenson, I think he's going to be returning too. Some people were telling me about that, but we're not too sure on that. But if it does, that's cool. You know, that's cool if it comes back. I mean, they're probably not going to have an audience yet, but, you know, I'm ready for some new boxing matches to come up, man, you know. But, yeah, going back to September, Errol Spence and Danny Garcia, that's a potential fight that could happen. They also said that Danny Garcia could be in talks to either fight Errol or Manny. Me personally, I prefer him to take on Errol Spence Jr. You know, I feel like that's a fight that's more on the level for both of these guys. You know, with Danny coming back after Ivan Redcash fight back in January, and of course Errol Spence, this will be his return after fighting Sean Porter and taking the WBC belt. And then after that, you know, horrific car accident, you know, this will be his return fight, you know, after almost a year off, you know. So my thoughts on this one, man, Spence Garcia, like I said, I've done a video on this before. I like this fight. I don't really care what anybody says, man. I think this is a good fight, especially for Errol Spence Jr., who's going to be coming back after a tough fight with Sean Porter, then a long layoff due to the car accident plus the COVID-19, you know. Well, first off, you know, back in September after the Sean Porter win, you know, he suffered this car accident and, you know, he suffered some suffered some minor lacerations, no broken bones, some teeth, some like two or three teeth came out, I think. You know, he said in a recent interview that he had to get three new teeth in. So he hasn't been doing any sparring. He's waiting for that to, you know, to be clear. And, yeah, after the accident, you know, he's been out of, you know, there's been a lot of questions like, is he going to be able to return to boxing? When is he returning to boxing? And honestly, man, with this COVID that came up, I have to say that was kind of like a blessing in disguise, you know, because I think his ideal return was to return in January, you know, before the accident. And then when the accident happened, his next return was probably going to be this summer, like May or June, you know. But after this COVID thing taking effect in like back in what, February, March, you know, they started pushing boxing dates back, canceling boxing dates. And, you know, that definitely pushed a potential fight between Errol and Manny or Errol and Danny off. And to me, I thought that was a good I thought that was just like a blessing in disguise for him. You know, I thought it was, because it'll give him time to heal, you know, because Errol's the type of guy, you know, he's that type of warrior that wants to go straight back in there and fight whoever. You know, he's always calling out the names, you know. You ask him who he wants to fight, he's going to say all the names. He doesn't really beat around, you know. So if a Danny fight was going to be able to take place in May after an accident, he was ready to come back, you know. And to me, I still kind of felt like that was dangerous for him because, like I said, Danny Garcia is a dangerous opponent. You know, he's a dangerous opponent for anybody, and that's the point I want to talk about. That's why I say this is a good fight for Errol Spence because, for one, after this long layoff, he gets to come back and prove himself against a former champion again. You know, Danny is no pushover, in my opinion. You know, he's going to have another name on his resume. Errol Spence is going to have another name, you know, after a big fight like Sean Porter. You know, he gets to go back in there against Danny Garcia, who's faced, you know, some of the top guys at 140, faced some of the top guys at 147. Came up short, but hey, he still faced them. And it's another name that he gets to rack up on his side to make even the potential Manny fight or potential Terrence Crawford fight look even more tantalizing. And then it'll all come down to how, you know, he's able to handle a guy like Danny Garcia. You know, it'll really, you know, put those ears up, put those eyes on him to make people really say, oh, this guy might give Terrence Crawford all he can handle. You know, so it's another good fight for him. And with him taking it, it kind of puts Terrence Crawford in that corner as well, where, you know, people are going to be saying, well, Terrence, who do you have? Who you fought on your resume? You know, that's just the bottom line. You know, casual fans are going to be saying that. Analysts are going to be saying that all day. You know, we're going to start pushing for Terrence Crawford to fight Keith Thurman's, the Keith Thurman's of Sean Porter's. You know, we're going to be wanting to say, hey, man, what can you do to make us say you're going to beat a guy like Errol Spence? Hey, Errol Spence done destroyed Kell Brook. He went a dog fight. He went to hell and back against Sean Porter. Now he knocked Danny Garcia out. You know, if that happened, then people are going to say, well, Terrence, what can you do? You know what I mean? So it's a fight that really is going to build up the resume and the exposure of Errol Spence, you know, building the exposure because Danny Garcia is that guy too, as far as, you know, on the East Coast, Philly, you know, he's pulling in $3 million a fight, somewhere close to $3 million a fight. And, he has a lot of fans on the East Coast. So, you know, bringing over the East Coast fans with the West Coast fans for Errol Spence. And it's a fight that'll really build up Errol Spence as a superstar as well. And just going back to, like I said, a lot of people not wanting to see this fight because they don't like Danny Garcia. Well, I like Danny, okay. You know, there's no problem with Danny. You know, Danny Garcia is no pushover, you know. They forget that he was a unified champion at 140. He beat some top names at 140. I know some guys you can kind of question and say they were kind of out of their prime and they've gotten older, but there were still some dangerous fights at 140. You know, even the Amir Khan fight was dangerous at one point. You know, Amir Khan was at some point, you know, piling up points against Danny in that fight until Danny knocked him out. He's had a tough fight with Zab Judah. You know, Zab Judah had his moments in that Danny Garcia fight, but Danny was able to overcome adversity and win that fight. Who else has he beat? See guys like Eric Morales. Those are more so name builders. You know, Eric Morales was kind of at his prime, but it was still a name. It was still a name on there that you could say he still had enough to prove that he could beat world champions. And, even going, okay, let's go up to 147. He lost to Keith Thurman and Sean Porter, but they didn't knock him out. You know, they didn't dominate him. They didn't, like, dog him. And, you know, that's the thing people forget about Danny Garcia. Danny Garcia may come up short in some departments as far as, like, some of his skill, but he's a strong guy. You know, if you go back and look at those fights, he still had a presence in the fight against Keith Thurman and Sean Porter. I think he lost both of those fights, but he still had a presence to kind of keep them honest at times. Like Keith Thurman came out strong in the Danny Garcia fight. You know, he came out swinging a few times and hit Danny Garcia with some big shots. You know, he hit him with some big shots that I thought he would have knocked Danny Garcia out. But I think when he found out he couldn't knock Danny out and he saw how strong Danny was and how Danny started walking him down a few times in the second half of the fight, he started showing respect. He went on his bike, you know, so don't get me wrong. Like Danny Garcia has some strength to him, but his skill wasn't on Keith Thurman's level. So Keith had to show you that, hey, I'm a better boxer. He went to that next level and said, okay, let me start boxing because this guy is taking all my best punches. He is a strong guy at welterweight. he has the ability to knock me out if he wants to, I think. So I'm going to stay on the back foot now and show him I'm the smarter fighter. You know, that's the kind of approach Keith Thurman had to take, because Danny still has skill in him. You know, he has strength in him. You know, he's handled 147 well, I think. You know, he's been holding his own. You know, he hasn't been dog walked or, like, really just fully dominated yet, you know. He's came up short, but he hasn't been dominated. And looking at his Sean Porter fight, you know, that was a fight I and myself and a lot of people felt Sean Porter was going to dog Danny Garcia, and they thought he was going to be in there muscling him in and pushing him against the rope. But there were parts in that fight, if you look at Danny Garcia was, like, pushing Sean Porter back. Like, he was standing his ground. Like, when Sean would try to dog him, like, he would, like, keep those feet planted and kind of push him back and show you how strong he is. Like, Danny, you know, Danny's not a small guy. You know, he was a taller fighter, even in the Sean Porter fight, and looked a little bit wider. But Sean Porter, he took a different approach in this fight. You know, Sean Porter became more of a boxer in the Danny Garcia fight. You know, like, he was actually on the outside, being a little weary of Danny Garcia's power. And, you know, that's another key point. You know, Danny's power is one of the great equalizers in his fights. You know, he can even up a fight just with that power. You know, that's why I say this is a good fight, and it can be a dangerous fight for Errol Spence. You know, Sean, again, like, he didn't take that full-on dog approach like he did against, you know, some of these other guys in the past. Like, he actually tried to dog with Sean Errol Spence a little bit more than he would with Danny Garcia. That's like, kind of shows you that Danny Garcia got some strength in him, and he definitely, you know, got the power to hurt a guy. So I got to say, yeah, Danny Garcia is not a pushover. You know, he's not a full pushover. Like, some guys just think he swings wild or he's a puncher, but he's a calculated puncher. Like, he's not the type of puncher that just goes in there like a Maidana, like a Marcos Maidana. Danny sets his punches up with timing. You know, he's not the fastest guy, and he's definitely not slow, but he's like, he's a good timing guy, and he knows how to kind of roll with punches. He keeps his feet planted to keep that good balance, to always throw with bad intentions, you know, even with his jab. You know, he's never really had the best straight right hand, I've always noticed, but he has a very good overhand right, and definitely has a devastating left hook. And that's what a lot of people forget. You know, he is a Philly fighter, so he does have a little bit of like a roll to him when he's in that pocket. And that's what always sets up his counters. You know, he'll kind of roll and then come back with like a looping shot. And these guys don't see it until they feel it. You know, Danny's that type of guy. Like, when he knows how to time, he can get in there and connect. So, not a pushover at all, man. Like I said, if Danny was a pushover, he would have been gone. You know, he would have lost his belts like in devastating fashion at 140, then possibly move up to 147, and then just got mauled and brawled out by Sean Porter. But no, he's held his own in these fights, man. Like, again, like, he's lost these fights, but I felt like he definitely could show you that he has potential to get a little, you know, get a little bit better, you know, if he wants to. So, yeah, going into an Errol Spence fight, it's definitely not going to be a fight where Errol just walks through Danny Garcia. You know, Danny is definitely going to have his moments where he stands his ground, and Errol's going to have to box in this fight, you know, to set up his potential knockout. If Errol wants to stop him, he's definitely going to have to break somebody like him down, you know, go to the body and to the head, you know. And even then, you don't want to stay in there too long because, yeah, Danny Garcia, whenever he starts to fall behind on cards, he's definitely going to be looking for that Hail Mary. So you don't want to be in there when he's looking for that Hail Mary shot. You know, even Keith Thurman went on the back foot in the last half of that fight and stayed on the outside to avoid, you know, the knockout power of Danny Garcia. So, yeah, Errol Spence, He's going to definitely bring the boxing style he knows how to bring when he meets Danny Garcia in the middle. But at the same time, he's going to use his IQ to avoid the power and kind of box more at a range, because he is going to be the faster fighter at that range. And I feel like he definitely utilizes a better straight than Danny Garcia. Danny Garcia's straight right hand isn't really there the same way Errol uses a straight left hand. I think the better tools are possessed by Errol Spence. You know, Errol Spence has the jab, has the body attack, has a better footwork. But I think that the better timing has been shown by Danny Garcia. You know, I think the better timing is from Danny Garcia, because that's what makes his style unique, and that's what's gotten him knockouts. You know, he knows how to time guys and come back with the counter and even throw these looping shots from down here, and they still land. You know, they're kind of telegraphed, but, you know, he still knows how to set them up. He knows how to beat up brawlers. He knows how to go in there and kind of push back. You know, guy was at 140, but like I said, he's carried 147 up nice physically. But as far as what he can bring to the table with the power, it is a game changer in the fight. So, yeah, I like this fight, man. I really do. Like I said, it's just the type of styles they both possess, you know, Spence and Garcia. One's more of a concussive boxer, like with a good body attack. You know, he can box or punch. And Errol Spence, then you got Danny Garcia, who's a very skilled, calculated puncher, you know. He's a skilled, calculated puncher. You know, like I said, he's not just some wild, one-dimensional puncher. He sets the punches up. Go back and watch some of these Danny fights. You know, I know there have been some controversial decisions he's won, like that Lamont Peterson. I feel like Lamont Peterson did beat him. You know, again, Thurman and Porter beat him convincingly too, but they still had to show him respect in those fights. You know, he's still a guy you had to respect with the strength and the power. So, yeah, if this fight happens – I'll take it, you know. I'll definitely take it. I'd rather see Spence Garcia before I see Pacquiao Garcia. You know, I feel like we need to see more of guys of this era, you know, face off. And, again, this will be a big name on Spence's record. And, you know, it'll make us say, yo, Terrence, you got to get that Sean Porter fight, man. Or, you know, you got to get that Keith Thurman fight. You know, you got to get over here to PBC and start fighting some of these guys, you know, because – you know, the time is winding down for both of these guys. You know, already both Errol Spence already pushed, just turned 30. I'm going to say he just turned 30, and Terrence Crawford is 33. So, yeah, it's going, you know, it's going down right now, you know, in the welterweight division. You know, we got so much talent. So there's a lot of fights that need to be made between, like, these top 10 guys. In the meantime, since Danny is looking at Spence or, again, Manny, Terrence Crawford, Ugas, I like that fight, man. Go ahead and make that one happen. You know, there's a little bit of history there. You know, Ugas has beaten Terrence Crawford in the amateurs. You know, that would be a nice fight just to see how far Terrence Crawford's come since then. You know, he can come back and say, yo, I'm definitely not the same guy I was then. I can still beat you. Ugas brings a lot to the table. You know, Ugas will really test you and push you 12 rounds. You know, he's a tough, strong welterweight, you know, just ask Sean Porter. Yeah. But then, yeah, that's all I got on this one, guys. For real though, man, really pouring out here, man. But let me know your thoughts on that fight. You know, I know, like I said, a lot of people don't like the Spence Garcia matchup, but I do. I think, you know, it's going to prove a lot to see where how much of Errol Spence is still the same fighter after this car accident, you know. And it'll also tell us what Danny Garcia, it'll show us how, you know, Danny Garcia, another side of Danny Garcia, because, you know, before he didn't want to fight Errol Spence. You know, he didn't call out Errol Spence until after that Sean Porter fight, you know. So maybe when he saw something in there, he was like, oh, man, I can maybe capitalize off that. You know, nobody was really licking their chops until they saw that tough fight that Errol Spence had with Sean Porter. So, yeah, we're going to really get to see what Danny Garcia offers in that fight. But, yeah, man. Like I said, that's all I got on this one, guys. Let me know in the comment section what y'all think of these topics. What do y'all want to see Courtney Casey do from here at 125? Do you want to see Claudia Gadelha, Angela Hill 2? Or do you want to see Claudia versus Carla Esparza 2? Do you think Claudia did enough to win the fight? Do you think Angela Hill did enough to win the fight? What do you think about judges in general in combat sports? Do you think they should be experienced fighters or trainers, former fighters or trainers or referees? You know, let me know in the comment section what y'all think about that. And Errol Spence Jr. versus Danny Garcia, what do y'all think of that fight? You know, like I said, I like it, but what do y'all think? Let me know in the comment section, guys. And like always, y'all can follow me on Instagram at ComboBreaker99, and you can follow me at All Boxing Everything. That's just my All Boxing page. You know, that title says it all Boxing Everything. Make sure y'all subscribe here on my YouTube channel, Combo Breaker 99. Thanks to my new subscribers. It's been growing. You know, just keep on. I keep on doing some videos and podcast episodes and interviews here. And what else? Follow me and my man Boxing Peace page, The Jab Effect on Instagram. It's at The Jab Effect. I'll post it here. And y'all can check out our podcast together, Jab Podcast, on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and SoundCloud. But yeah, all that's going to be posted right here for y'all, you know, to check out. But yeah, man, I'm just, you know, coming with some more stuff, man, just kind of talking to y'all about some technical things in sports, whether it be in the octagon, in the ring, or, you know, out the octagon, out the ring, you know, all of that's going down, man. But yeah, man, I'll be back with another episode for y'all next week. You know, like always, my name is Combo Breaker 99. I'm out, y'all. Peace.